Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And it is time at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday to check in with the Commanders Insider for today's edition of Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Today's guest is the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. He is also the Sports Illustrated writer covering the Commanders. It's our pal, David Harrison. It would help if I hit the button. Need to make sure, Anthony, I got too many mouses over here. Can you pull David up on the phone? Thank you, sir. David, welcome to the show with that horrendous introduction.
It's all good, man. What's up? How you been?
I'm good, man. Just a well-oiled machine that we're operating here. Appreciate your time here on this Wednesday, a busy one ahead of the playoff showdown against the Buccaneers this weekend. And we know from Dan Quinn that, you know, pre-practice press conference, that the only guys that were fully not participating today in practice were the four guys that got rest: Cleveland Furl, Terry McLaurin, Zach Ertz, and then the other one that I'm forgetting. But all the injured guys, they were back out there in some capacity. What more can you tell us about what capacity? How do we feel about Tyler Biadasz and Marshawn Lattimore going into the weekend, and anybody else that you think is really important to mention on the injury front?
Yeah, I think, you know, starting with Marshawn Lattimore first and foremost, like, this is kind of the result that we expected. He's listed as a full participant in Wednesday's practice, and that's obviously really great news. And even coming into the last weekend, like, it just kind of felt like the way that this team handled injuries in the past, the fact that it was the same hamstring that Marshawn Lattimore came to the team dealing with, you know, it all just kind of lined up to say he's probably not going to play against Dallas. And then, of course, them not playing CeeDee Lamb, like, you know, obviously it just kind of matches up. And then you keep him for the playoffs, which is really what he was brought here for, is long-term success, but then also the postseason, if and when the Washington Commanders were to get into it back when they traded for him in the beginning of November. So to see him as a full participant not only breathes confidence into that, you know, opinion before the Cowboys game, but obviously it's very promising as they're going to go up against Mike Evans, you know, future Hall of Famer, just tied Jerry Rice's consecutive 1,000-yard receiving record, all that stuff. Obviously, he did some damage against the Commanders, you know, back in week one. So that's huge. And then Tyler Biadasz, you know, he's limited today. You know, I mean, the dude's nickname is Badass for a reason. So you expect that if he can go in any way, shape, or form, I mean, that ankle was taped up about as much as I've ever seen somebody taped up in a quote-unquote jog-through. But the fact that he's out there at all just you know, should breed confidence that the offensive line is going to be intact as well.
When you watch this offensive line with Michael Dieter versus Biadasz, like, how banged up would Biadasz have to be for you to say, it's not worth it?
Yeah, I mean, for a playoff game, I just, you know, the standards change a little bit, right? Like, as careful as this team has been with injuries, you know, I don't think anybody asked today, Dan Quinn, specifically if those standards change, but they kind of have to a little bit, because you always want to take care of the players and everything, but the players also know what's at stake, and this is what they play for. You know, to get into this tournament, that's what you play the regular season for, to put yourself in the best position possible to go after that Lombardi, and this is it. You know, I mean, this is your opportunity to do it, and, you know, not to, like, overly quote Eminem, but you may only get one shot, you know what I mean? So you got to go out there and put it all on the line. So, you know, this is one of those situations where, like, when Tyler was sick, you know, I remember, like, seeing it a little bit in person, but also hearing about it later. Like, he was trying to convince him, like, no, guys, I'm good enough. I can go. And they kind of had to take him by the shoulder and say, hey, look, man, we know that you're a beast. You're a warrior. You want to do this for your team. We appreciate it, but we're going to shut you down today because it's what's best for you in the long run. But the playoffs, I kind of think that when Tyler says, no, I'm good. I can do this. You listen a little bit more because of what's at stake. So, you know, I think, again, unless there's some sort of setback, which it doesn't seem to be, there was today. He was all smiles in the locker room, talking to everybody, even talked to him a little bit offline after he did his official scrum and all that stuff. I feel pretty confident that Biadasz is going to be able to go this weekend.
Definitely great news. David Harrison, Sports Illustrated and Locked On Commanders with us here on the Hoffman Show. And the thing is with him is, because he is so good at getting everyone else going, there's just, you know, all due respect to Michael Dieter, there is a significant drop off, not only from Biotis to Dieter, but the trickle down effect of everyone else. That said, if he can't move like he's supposed to move and you have to change how you call your offense, like that becomes a problem as well. And so I think that's just something to kind of watch that obviously we will be going through the rest of the week, especially, by the way, when it's like, hey, you're playing a 3-4 team with Vita Vea as the nose tackle. So you as a center have a slightly different task this week. So that's obviously something worth watching. What is the number one matchup for you, though, David, when you look at this matchup on paper or look back at the tape from week one? Like, what is the most interesting thing to you and how this game ultimately gets decided on Sunday?
I think it's going to be the second and third level defenders against Bucky Irvin. You know, the Commanders saw Bucky Irvin a little bit, you know, the first time that they played, but Bucky Irvin wasn't really as integral a part of this offense as he is today. And for Commanders fans who don't know, rookie running back for the Buccaneers, Bucky Irvin has done an outstanding job. And, you know, you look at the box score from the last time they played, 9 carries, 62 yards, had a couple of receptions, but that doesn't really illustrate the impact that he's had on this team as the season has progressed. So when you look at what's different from the Buccaneers from week one to now, that is one of the main things. Jalen McMillan is also one of those things. He's really stepped up since that team lost Chris Godwin. Obviously, you know what Mike Evans is going to bring, so it's not to diminish what Mike Evans does per se, but I think that if you're looking for like an X factor, a player that not every, you know, Commanders fan who doesn't pay attention to the Buccaneers during the course of the season knows, that's going to be the guy. And, you know, I say second and third level defenders, guys like Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner hitting their fits. You know, Quan Martin has had a lot of matchups against Bucky in that week one matchup, so he's going to have a lot of opportunities to go up against him as well, whether it's, you know, filling in a run fit or covering him in, out of the backfield. But how they contain Bucky Irvin is really going to set the tone, I think, for this game, because that's a dude that, you know, if you give him a crease or a missed tackle, like he can really turn that thing into an explosive play and punish you for it. So I think that's really going to be, at the end of the day, if the Commanders' defense is able to kind of keep this Buccaneers' offense from getting above, say, the 24-point mark, I think it's going to be because they did a good job of stifling that running back. If they go over that mark, I think you're going to see Bucky have a big day.
So I don't know if things that are not human beings can be enigmatic, but I'm going to pretend that they can be. The Commanders' run defense this year has been enigmatic. It has been, at times, good for very long stretches. It has been horrendous in some stretches. Sometimes it has been consistently just not good enough. I think of this its most recent performance this past weekend against Dallas, where the longest carry they gave up was, I think, 10 yards. But there's a ton of 6 and 7 yard carries versus Philadelphia, where they give up a couple of enormous gains to Barkley early and then pretty much shut it down and have a fairly dominant performance for three quarters. Can this, like, first of all, what do you make of the Commanders' run defense, and what is kind of the level or the type of run defense you think they need to play Sunday to make sure that Irving doesn't win Tampa a playoff game as a rookie?
Yeah, I think it really all boils down to, you know, your aggressive action, right? You want aggressive action from this defense. That's what Dan Quinn's about. That's what Joe Witt's about. That's what all these coaches are about, and certainly these players want to fit that, but it's got to be intelligent aggression. You can't let that aggression, you know, undo all of the work that you've done. You can't let that aggression undo the scheme that you're trying to fill, you know. And I talked to Frankie Louvu, you know, ahead of the Dallas Cowboys matchup about a similar type of kind of, you know, situation, but it was because of Trey Lance and kind of what he can do outside the pocket and how they can move things with him, but then also use that to set up, you know, guys like Rico Dowdle, who can certainly run it through the line if you get an opportunity to. And how important that discipline is, and to understand, like, if I'm a leak defender, I've got to stay back. You know what I mean? Even if I see that running back, or if I see that mobile quarterback, you know, go back to the Cowboys analogy, like, even if I see that guy stretching that run, I've got to understand, like, there's a guy out there whose his job is to contain. There's a guy out there whose his job is to crash in. My job is to stay back here so that the play comes backwards or comes back inside, or if the play springs past that first level of defense, I'm there to make the play. If I get too aggressive, wanting to be aggressive and kind of embody what our scheme is about, that's how I run myself out of the play. And I always kind of go back to, and it's not to like harp on Dorrance Armstrong, because obviously he's been very solid this season, but that first explosive touchdown run from Saquon Barkley that really kind of set the avalanche in motion that led to the Commanders losing to the Eagles that Thursday night, he kind of fell victim to that. He's trying to pursue this run, going opposite of the side of him, trying to, you know, he's that backside defender, but he feels like Saquon is just going to take this thing outside. So he's trying to get a good angle, trying to be aggressive. What ends up happening is Saquon cuts back, and then your backside defender is no longer backside. He runs free for a touchdown. That's the kind of thing that this team, it's hard to do in the heat of the moment because you want to go make the play for your team. But that's really what it's got to boil down to because, you know, everybody, when we watch this game, like, you see a wide open hole, it's easy to say, like, oh, Joe Witt, what are you doing? Daryl Tapp, what are you doing? You know, all these guys, like, but at the end of the day, like, someone's supposed to be there. So you got to figure out why they weren't there. And usually, at least with this team, it's because that aggression took over and kind of overrode the IQ, which has to be there as well.
It's a funny thing about watching tape. Every play is supposed to work on paper. The game's not played on paper. David Harrison with us for another minute here on the Hoffman Show. David, of course, writes for Sports Illustrated about the Commanders and then also is the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. I'd be remiss if I did not ask you about Jaden Daniels before we went, David, because he also spoke today getting ready for the rematch against Tampa, obviously a replay of his first ever NFL real regular season game. And then this will be his first playoff game. What did you walk out of Jaden's press conference kind of thinking about today and how ready he is for this this moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, in this first interaction this week with Jaden in playoff season and all that stuff, and I know the closer you get to the game, the more kind of real, I guess, it's going to potentially get. But I really just wanted to kind of get a gauge of his personality. And you know, sometimes you get to know these players, at least to a certain extent covering them, and you know what I'm talking about. You kind of just feel there's something different. There's something maybe off. And honestly, even going into the locker room, you know, we got in the locker room, he was just kind of hanging out with Mikey Sainer still. And then, you know, he was on a phone call with someone, not my business, so I don't know who. But, like, he was Jaden. You know what I mean? And it really kind of just reinforces that whole, you know, he is who he is. And but you have this, there's this wonderment in me. And when we get into this game on Sunday, I'm going to be watching because, you know, we also go back to week one and he was still that poised guy that we saw, you know, all through rookie training camp and all that stuff. But there was a little bit of, this is your first NFL game. And you saw that kind of survival mode, I think is what Cliff Kingsbury called it, the fight or flight, and certainly more flight in him than fight, you know, as far as like staying in the pocket, staying alive as a passer. So you just kind of wonder, is the playoff atmosphere going to kind of bring that back a little bit? And at least, you know, again, it's only one day so far this week, and we got to get a lot closer to the game to really get a gauge of it. But I think the biggest thing right now is that it looks like Jaden is still Jaden Daniels. And this is, you know, it's a big football game, but it's still a football game. He's going to still have a lot of fun doing it. I love that clip of him getting sandwiched by like 3-4 defenders and just laughing in the middle of it. Like, he's still going to be that dude. And as long as he's that guy, you know, every single one of these people, from the veterans like Bobby Wagner to the coaching staff to defensive coaches that don't even necessarily interact with him on an official capacity on a daily basis, they've always said, like, as long as number five is in the fight and he's poised and he's collected, we've got a chance. And I think that's going to bleed into this weekend's action. So we'll see how, you know, I don't expect to come in Friday and see, like, Jaden Daniels biting his fingernails off or anything like that, but certainly I think that's going to play a part into it.
David Harrison writing all about it and got video content as well over on the Sports Illustrated site for the Commanders. And then, of course, if you'd like to listen to more of David, you can on the Locked On Commanders podcast. David, appreciate your time as always, sir. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk to you down the line for sure.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
That's David Harrison with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, from David to Dave, Dave Johnson joins us from Philadelphia, where the Wizards will take on the Sixers tonight. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. So we're going to have Dave here, but Dave's got to talk to Brian Keefe, and we messed up the schedule. So that's on us. That's our fault. So apologies for no Dave Johnson today. So we're going to talk Wizards quickly amongst ourselves before we get to Competition Wednesday coming up in just a few minutes. So, Anthony, There's a trend with the old Zardos that is not my favorite trend. It's one thing to, I think, like, lose games, right? And obviously, we would like to see them be more competitive even if they lose games. This is a game where they have a 10-point lead after the end of the first quarter, give up that lead by halftime, and then the third quarter is just an absolute dumpster fire where they lose it by 16, 40-24. In large part thanks to Jalen Green losing his mind. There was a bunch of threes that got hit in that third quarter by everyone, it felt like. But, man, Jalen Green, 29 points, 22 of them in the third quarter. And I think that's the thing that, like, I guess annoys me is probably the best term that I can think of for this team right now is, yes, the best players in the NBA are going to best player in the NBA. And Jalen Green's a really talented player for the Rockets. But it just seems like once a guy gets going against this team, They cannot stop it. And I, to be totally transparent and honest, have not watched enough of them this year to have a really good feel as to why. Is it lack of creativity in stopping them? Is it guys hitting tremendously tough shots? Is it lack of individual defensive stoutness by Bilal or by Brogdon or by whoever is guarding these guys? But I'm just kind of sick of looking at the box scores and seeing, there's 50. Oh, there's a guy that got 22 of 29. It was 29 in the third quarter. And like, yeah, Steph Curry is going to flurry on you. And, you know, CJ McCollum, who had 50 the other day for New Orleans, like he can flurry on you. But the consistency with which this team gets flurried on is, I don't love it when the goal is competitiveness and like being able to be, I think, bring some ingenuity and like being willing to try stuff. Like, I just would like less flurries. I'd like to be snowed upon less. That is the theme of the week here in the District of Columbia.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like there are teams in the NBA where, like, you can really get your stuff off. You can stat pad. And right now, it just seems that the Wizards seem to be that team. Like, everybody, you know, circles on their calendar. And to be quite frankly, like, it's been like that for years, to be honest, Craig. Like, we haven't been competitive, and it sucks because we consistently see teams put up 110, 120 on us, and it's just like
135 last night.
God dang. Like, when are we going to fight back? So,
yeah. But I do, to bring a little bit of fairness and next level analysis to this, right? It's easy to be like, hey, they got 135 dropped on them again. That's not good. Part of it is their offense.
Yeah.
Part of it is it's really hard to play good defense in the NBA when the game is in constant motion at you. And I think that's part of it. Like, I did watch some of this game last night more than I have, and I'll be watching a lot more down the stretch here, you know, once football season is over. But it's like I can only watch the Wizards or so much Tampa Bay tape or so much other Washington. Like, there's only so many hours in a day. And also, like, not be a terrible husband. That's important to me as well. Like, in watching some of the game last night, it's just, and I was especially watching in that third quarter when things went sideways, where you're just like, they can't hit a shot. Like, part of the reason they give up 40 is because they only score 24. And so Houston's taking the ball off the rim, getting out in transition, getting open threes. There's mismatches, there's cutters, there's a defense that's not set. And then they score, they set their defense. The Wizards just are not a good half-court offensive team. That is not how they want to play. It is not how they're built, especially without Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma. And Poole is out with a hip injury right now. Kyle left again last night. He just came back. He leaves again with a calf injury, which is really becoming concerning because they need him to play to up his trade value before this deadline that's in like a month, less than a month. And so I think that winds up being a compounding problem. Like, that is the nature of NBA, especially basketball, but of basketball in general, is one side does inflict the other. Because if you can just score and set your defense, you have a chance to be a lot better on that side versus constantly playing in transition. And I think when I have tapped into the Wizards far more this year, that to me is one of the things that's striking is just how often these games feel wide open. And they want to play fast, but they are wide open games where they're not making a ton of shots. And if the other team starts making a couple in a row, it becomes kind of a lopsided wide open game. And they have a lot of trouble stemming that tide.
Yeah, I mean, and just like watching it, like, I guess being spectators of it, like, how much more frustrating can it get, though? Like,
not much. I guess it would be more frustrating if they were trying to be good.
Okay.
Again, if you're a Wizards fan and you want to feel good about the season, go watch Cooper Flagg highlights. He had a nasty dunk last night.
Yeah, he did.
He yammed all over that kid. By the way, what a night for dunk highlights.
Oh.
Your mans, LeBron, nasty left-handed windmill.
Yeah.
40 years old. Zion played his first game in forever and had a 360 windmill in transition.
Yep.
So, a good night for Duncan in the NBA.
And then, this wasn't a dunk, but it might as well have been a dunk. Trae Young.
Half-court shot, right?
Man, that was a hell of a sequence, first and foremost.
I didn't see the full sequence, actually. I just heard about the half-quarter.
The Jazz had struggled getting the ball in. It looked like the Hawks had gotten the steal. The Hawks are up three at the time. It looked like they had gotten a steal. Colin runs the ball down, grabs it, takes one dribble, steps back, shoots over a super contested shot, makes it. It's probably like 2 seconds left. Trae's like, come on. Gets the ball in. Cash. I said, oh, my God. That was insane. It was already overtime.
Ice cold. That Trae Young is...
He's the most underrated player in the league.
Is he?
Yes, Craig. He went 20 and 20 yesterday, and nobody's talking about it.
That is pretty good. That is pretty good.
And guess what, Craig? He's been doing that consistently. I think he's averaging 12 assists, which is like the most assists in a season since like the 1990s.
How many? Look at Anthony. He's dropping NBA stats on my brain.
I'm not the biggest Trae Young fan, but the last 5 years, this guy does routinely.
He's an excellent player. He's not good enough to be the best player on a championship team.
Yeah. I mean,
if I'm a contender, do I want Trae Young to come and add to my team? Do I think that Trae Young will add to my team? Yes. Atlanta's also one game over 500.
Yeah. I mean, we know history says your best player cannot be a point guard unless you're Steph Curry or you're Isaiah Thomas. Outside of that, there haven't been too many, you know, point guards that have been the best player on that team. So I understand he does need to go to a contender. Yes. I don't know who, though.
For sure. You know who it's not going to be?
The Wizards.
The Washington Wizards.
Yep.
Last again in the standings, and they are in last place on ESPN's power rankings, and they've earned that. But again, that's kind of what they're trying to earn this year. That is what it is. Hopefully, they will start climbing next season. All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, it's Competition Wednesday. And speaking of losing, it's Competition Wednesday. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. And I'm just going to tell everybody that this should have been a far more interesting, far better Competition Wednesday from an entertainment value standpoint. And it's not going to be quite as good as it should have been because of the weather. On the wheel of mediocre punishment is... Hot Wings, and we had decided a couple weeks ago that the loser of the week going into the Falcons game, so week 16 of Competition Wednesday, was going to have to eat medium hot wings at a tailgate, or really it was kind of whatever we were handed at a tailgate, and then of course it rained, and Anthony and I did not go tailgating before Sunday Night Football. So I was the one who was going to have to do that. And the rule has always been that we were going to use a hot sauce that was basically like a 7 on Hot Ones, the one before Da Bomb. And if you've watched Hot Ones, Da Bomb is a terrible hot sauce that makes people like lose their minds, because not only is it incredibly spicy, but it has no redeeming flavor qualities. So we were going to take the one that was below that, where it's like, dang, this is hot, but like people tend to not have that big of a reaction to it. And we were trying to find something that spicy. Well, I was like, instead of trying to find something that's like that, why don't I just go buy that? Heatness, the company that does Hot Ones, sells their hot sauces. And so late last week, I ordered 2 different hot sauces that are 7 out of 10 on the Hot Ones scale. Ninja Napalm was one. And, oh God, I mean, I look it up. But there's another one. I think it might have been like a Scotch Bonnet Jerk one. But I was going to have some wings on the show. And frankly, that sounds fantastic because I'm actually pretty hungry, Anthony. Ran this morning, didn't eat enough all day. I'm pretty hungry. I would love to have some chicken wings right now.
Me too, man.
But alas, those sauces were scheduled to arrive at my door on Monday. And then my door, your door, everybody's door was covered in snow. And I still don't have the hot sauces. So next week on Competition Wednesday, Anthony, the hot wings shall get consumed.
Well, I won't be here next Wednesday. Can we try Tuesday?
I guess we could. I didn't tell you could take off.
Yeah.
It's not my call.
I'll be out.
Okay, then. Well, I guess we'll figure that out on Wednesday. Or maybe I'll just eat the hot wings on Tuesday. I guess it also depends on what happens today. Because we have to go through our picks here and see if how we did. Now, we'll pick. We got to decide how we're going to do the playoff games. So that's going to be high stakes next. And isn't there seven games? Or is there six games?
There are six games, brother man.
There are six games. So I guess we're going to take 3-3. And we'll have to figure out a tiebreaker.
That's scary. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, because now whoever gets first, like, you're going to get the first pick of games. So that becomes even more important because there's probably some games that you don't even want to have to pick. And we're going to have to wind up picking all of them. But in case you need a review, we pick three games out of the schedule, three different ones each, and we pick against the spread, and then we pick one game together to have a tiebreaker just in case. We then see who wins week over week. We have the Wheel of Mediocre Punishment. The loser spins that and then has to perform the punishment. So, week 18 in the NFL. Anthony, we both enter this reveal terrified at our picks because I don't know that either of us think that we won a game.
Well, I know for a fact I missed maybe one or two or three.
So let's find out, shall we? You started on Saturday night with the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game, in which the Cincinnati Bengals were 2.5-point favorites. They won by two, Anthony. That's a Pittsburgh cover. That's a dagger. That hurts.
You sure I didn't take the Steelers?
That's what I have written down. Cincinnati minus 2.5.
Dang it, man. And I probably said they were going to win them by a field goal.
Probably. You're wrong. They won by two on a 2.5-point line. That's a dagger. I don't know if it's as big of a dagger as this. I picked the Green Bay Packers, a team that had something to play for, to smoke the Chicago Bears, who had given up a long time ago, who are terrible, who had not beaten the Packers in 11 straight games. And, you know, had it been like, oh man, they won by eight, like, dang, that was too many points. No, no, no. The Packers barfed all over themselves and lost outright. So, my minus 10 never had a shot. That's 0-1 for each of us. Next up, Anthony Haney.
Yes, sir.
You took the Washington Commanders that by Friday had a line minus six over the Dallas Cowboys. It was 3.5 on Monday. It had gone to six, which is really unfortunate for you because they won by four. You, sir, are 0-2.
0-2 to start competition Wednesday. I love that for me, correct? Love it.
Well, guess what? You got company, my friend. You've got company. I thought the Kansas City Chiefs would at least, you know, take the field. All they had to do was cover 10.5 against the Denver Broncos team that was good and had everything to play for. The Chiefs had nothing to play for. But, like, come on. You're 15-1 entering the game. You're like Andy Reid has a long history of taking bad quarterbacks and having them play well. Carson Wentz, this is like your last chance to prove that you belong on an NFL roster. How bad did they lose?
30-0.
That's right, Anthony. They lost 38-0. So I am also 0-2.
You really put your faith and trust in Commander Carson? Shame on you, Craig.
I'm an idiot. Anthony, like, it was week 18. There was nothing good to pick. There was no, I should have taken Detroit, Minnesota as one of my actual games. Instead, we put it as the tiebreaker because that was a game where there was something on the line. I should have said the Browns are trying to lose harder than anyone else. I think it would gotten up to 20. I think that's what scared me. If it had been the 18 it was earlier in the week, I probably would have taken that one. But it got up to like 20.5 when we picked it last Wednesday. And they still would have freaking covered. Instead, my last game, well, we'll get there. I guess you're up next. Anthony, Tanner McKee and the Philadelphia Eagles. You needed them to beat the lowly, terrible New York Giants, who had won the week before by 3 points.
Great line. Great pick. Let's go.
And they did. They won by 7.
Uh-oh.
So I needed the lowly, terrible New Orleans Saints to just continue being lowly and terrible against the need to win this for the division, Tampa Bay Bucks. Well, the Bucks ultimately did pull off the win.
What was the line, Craig?
But the line was 13.5.
No!
They won by 8. Anthony, I went 0-3 for the second straight week.
Oh, you just needed the Saints to cover.
No, I needed the Bucks to cover.
And it's 13?
Yeah.
Woo! And they only won by 8.
Yeah, Anthony, I haven't picked a game right after starting the season 22-5. In fact, I started the season 24-6, Anthony. I am 0-8-1 in week 16, 17, and 18.
Oh my gosh, Craig. Say it ain't so.
And for the third straight week, I won the tiebreaker and it didn't matter.
I thought, to be honest, Craig, I thought you got game 3 right and I was freaking out over here because...
Oh, the way I set it up, you misunderstood?
I knew I lost the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. That's where we're at. Not good. So, that means I need to spin the wheel of mediocre punishment. I will do that immediately when we get back from break. And then we'll pick the playoff games, and hopefully I'll get one of them right. Because, by the way, again, to remind folks, I pick every game on a YouTube-exclusive show that I do on Mondays. 2 weeks ago on that show, I went 11-5 for the week. And in that 5 were 3 games that I picked for this dumb segment. This week, I went 7-9. Should have been able to get at least one. Nope. 7-9 on all the games. 0-3 on Competition Wednesday. So I guess the good news for me is we're going to pick all the games. Let's see if I go 3-3. And the 3 that I pick for this week are the 3 that I wind up picking on Competition Wednesday next on the Hoffman Show, which they still let me do here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. And before we get into our Week 18, or sorry, not our Week 18. If we have to do Week 18 punishment before we do Week 8, or a Wild Card Weekend picks, as I have lost Competition Wednesday again. I would just like to state for the record, Anthony, unlike you who got real cocky after winning like one time, I haven't been that cocky. I maybe have made a couple of jokes here and there, but I've always said eventually it's going to turn around because that's how gambling works. And I understand that. And the gambling gods don't seem to care. That seems to be how this goes.
Them tables like, turn, Craig.
It does, which is, again, something that I understood and knew and appreciated. And yet, nope. Just having to eat a whole pile of you know what. And that's where we are. Eating our pile of crow. All right. Yeah, keep mocking me because it'll turn back. You went one. I think you won.
See, we don't have to bring up the past, Craig. We don't have
you
to bring
won
up the past.
This week going 1-2. Which last week at least you went 2-1.
Yeah.
You did go 3-0 2 weeks ago. So that was nice.
Yep.
Good job out of you. All right.
Turning things around, man.
Oh, not that music. We need that, and then we need that, and then we need. Yeah, all right, here we go. Let's do this thing. Oh no.
Uh oh.
Okay, all right.
Oh. Do I need to come save the day, Craig?
No. You've done enough damage. Oh, it's a fantasy sub. We don't do fantasy anymore because we're in the playoffs. Oh, hot wings. Again. So I guess I have to eat. I did buy 2 different sauces. So I guess I got to try both of them?
Yes, really hot.
No, not really hot.
Okay.
That's not how it works. It's a volume thing. I can't just like have a chicken wing, like a chick. I think at this point I'm gonna have to eat like a whole, whether it's a 4 or 6 piece, like maybe we'll just do chicken strips. That might be the easiest way to do it, or wings. I gotta figure. That's the other thing. We gotta figure out where we're gonna get the chicken from.
I think you gotta come in here with an empty stomach, ready to eat. And we know how you get when you're hungry.
I'm ready to eat right now. I'm so hungry. I am 1,000% ready to go right now. But instead, a hangry me wishing that he could be eating chicken wings, even if they would make me sweat for the rest of the show and make me feel uncomfortable doing a radio show because I'm gonna have like stuff dripping out of my nose. Instead, I'm gonna pick football games and hope that I'm better than last week. But Anthony, you get to go first, sir, which becomes really important because on Wild Card Weekend there are only 6 games, and thus all of them are going to get picked. You're first,
Mr. Craig Hoffman.
Yes, sir.
For my first game,
okay,
I select the Los Angeles Chargers over the Houston Texans.
All right,
-3, baby.
If I had to pick that game, I would be on that side.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an interesting thing that we're like, yeah, let's just take the road favorite in a playoff game.
I mean, we all know, well, we did the tiers yesterday. The Texans don't belong there. They're not good.
No, they're not good. Again, I don't think you're wrong. I'm just laughing that the first pick off the board is a road playoff favorite.
Yes, sir.
So is the second pick off the board. Because that's kind of the thing, is the division winners don't necessarily mean that they were the best team. I am going to take the Minnesota Vikings. Let me double check this line. This is the Monday Nighter. Oh, especially. Yeah. Hell yeah. Minnesota Vikings are only 1-point favorites. I'm taking the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell, Sam Darnold, please don't do me wrong. Justin Jefferson, please don't get shut down for a second straight game. Matthew Stafford, please don't have a turn back the clock night.
You got a lot of prayers, Greg.
I do. I'm just asking for them to be answered.
Ooh. All right.
Now it's hard. Like, would that have been your second game?
Yes, no question.
Okay. I feel like the rest of them are hard.
Really hard, because the 9.5-point favorite for the Ravens scares the bejesus out of me, Craig.
Yeah.
The Bills 8.5 over the Broncos scares the bejesus out of me, Craig.
Yeah. Not knowing the status of either quarterback in the Packers-Eagles game scares the bejesus out of me, Anthony.
Well, there's that too. All right. Here goes nothing, Craig. I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles minus 4.5 over the Packers. I hope I don't regret this. Jalen Hurts did return to practice today. He has practiced for the first time since his concussion in Week 16 against the Commanders. I'm praying he plays and the defense shows up. I'm going with the Eagles, baby.
I think that is 100% the correct pick. If Jalen Hurts is going to play, and the state of the Packers is what it is, where they have no deep threat because Christian Watson is out and Jordan Love is banged up, like I think that 4.5 number feels more than possible for Philadelphia. That's probably the direction I would have gone and just bet on Jalen Hurts playing, which it looks like he should be able to. Huh. So now we're staring at Washington-Tampa, which feels like the game that has the most potential outcomes. A divisional rivalry with a 9.5-point spread, and another game with I think it's down to 8.5. Let's go, Commanders. Let's do this.
Oh, he's doing it.
I still don't know if I'm going to pick Washington to win the game outright. But I get 3 points here. So it's Washington +3. Is that the number that you have as well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Don't be scared now.
I'm taking Washington +3. Let's do it. Washington +3, and Jaden, I trust.
And JD5, I trust as well, Craig. I probably would have went the same direction. All right, these last
I don't know
games.
If the fact that we're on the same page makes me feel better or worse anymore. My whole world is upside down.
Ah, these last two games, Craig. Ah, here we go. Here goes nothing. I think the Ravens-Steelers game is very interesting. It's a divisional game. I think the Steelers will cover, but I'm still too scared. I'm going to take the Broncos to go on the road to Buffalo with that defense and cover +8.5 against the Bills.
So if I was picking that game, I think I would pick Buffalo.
-8.5
It's a ton of points. I don't feel good about it, which is why I'm kind of happy I don't. The problem is I don't know what to do with this Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. Because if you take away the history, I would take Baltimore, a team that seems to be peaking, a team that has tremendous potency, a team that has absolutely destroyed many comers and just been like, yeah, let's take. And then, by the way, Pittsburgh, on the other end of it, looks like they're falling apart at the seams and be like, we're good here. The problem is it's Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And it's a divisional game. These two teams know each other like the back of their hands. I know when they played a couple of weeks ago, Baltimore finally seemed to figure Pittsburgh out a little bit. But also, I don't know if Zay Flowers is going to play. So I think the safe thing to do here, which is would be to not pick a game at all, but that's not an option.
I was about to say.
It's 9.5 points. They might not have Zay Flowers, who's a huge piece of their offense. I am going to take Pittsburgh, a team that I think is bad, to cover 9.5. George Pickens, can you focus for one more day? Can you not be a checked out a-hole for one more day? Do it for me. I'll give you some of the hot wings I have to eat. Unless you don't like spicy foods, and then we'll find a nice mild sauce for you. That's my pledge. That's my ask. That's my request.
Good luck, Craig.
I don't feel good about it.
I don't either.
Then again, in the weeks where I didn't feel very good about many of things, that's when I was hitting every single week. So TBD, we will see. All right, when we get back, pick six at six time. Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels both spoke today out in Ashburn. You'll hear from them next on the Hoffman Show.